Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Well, you know, it was January 1st, and what do you do on New Year's Day? I mean, you sleep late, you eat black-eyed peas, and then you clean up your Christmas stuff? I don't know. So my big celebration was I went to Target. And so as I'm at Target shopping, I do that thing that everybody does but nobody likes to talk about. I scope out other people, and I hijack their fashion. And I'm like, oh, that is cute, and I like the way they wore that. And so I see this one girl, and she's dressed so adorable. Never mind the fact that I'm 5'11" and 100, never mind how much I weigh. But she's like 5'2" and 100 pounds soaking wet. But she has on this really cute outfit, and she's got on these over-the-knee socks. And I'm like, I'm going to get some socks like that because that'll make me cute like her. And right about that, because that's all it takes to look like somebody else's socks. And so she, right about that time, she goes to turn in the aisle. And when she goes to turn in the aisle, because I'm just seeing her from the back, I notice that she is 9.5 months pregnant. Probably going to deliver in the next 32 seconds. And I'm just there going, really? You're that cute and 9 months pregnant? When I was pregnant, my ankles were pregnant. My toenails were pregnant. The ends of my hair was pregnant. I was pregnant in the front, I was pregnant in the back, and I was pregnant everywhere in between. And all the ladies in the house said, amen. Come on, somebody. But it reminds me of the stuff that I see on social media, and people put it on there, and they say, hashtag goals. Who's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope? I just Periscope between services and talked about goals on Periscope. And so if you're under 25, hang with me for a minute. If you're over 45, let me tell you about this hashtag goals thing on Instagram or on the social media. Don't put your actual goals on social media and put hashtag goals, because that's not what it means. The way they put it on there is they'll put a picture of a guy, not with six-pack abs, with 12-pack abs, right? You're just totally disgusted because God even made humans that look like that. He not only looks like that shirtless, he's eating chocolate cake with both hands as fast as he can. And people put that up there and they say, hashtag fitness goals. How many of you know chocolate cake ain't gonna get you those abs? So it's really kind of like tongue-in-cheek. It's like unattainable. It's impossible. And the thing I don't like about that is I don't want us to think about goals. God doesn't want us to think about goals as the unattainable and the impossible. God wants us to have a vision. God wants us to have a goal for our life that is a God-sized goal, and he doesn't want the enemy stealing that from us. Amen? Because a New Year's resolution is not a to-do list for the first week of January. God is into goals. In Genesis 1, it says, we're in verse 28. It said, God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful. That's our first thing. God tells us, be fruitful. So that's a goal for us from God. He says, multiply. How many of you, if you got fruit, you'll take more fruit? God, send me fruit, I'll take it. And if God tells you to multiply, you'll take that too. So he's like, be fruitful, multiply. And just in case we're confused, next he says, fill the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That's increase. Everybody say increase. Increase. Say banner year. Banner. Say this year. This year. You feeling me? Okay. He says, fill the earth, be fruitful, and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Hey, that sounds like power. Subdue it. And just in case we're not sure about subdue it, he says, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every creature that creeps upon the earth. You see, God wants us to fill the earth. He wants us to increase. He wants us to have power and influence in this earth so that we can use it for him. In Acts 1, it says, and I want you, and you shall receive power, it says. But there's a certain kind of power. It says power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. There's a purpose for the power. There's a purpose for the blessing. But God needs us to have a goal and a vision so that we can attain for the blessing, so we can attain for the power, so that we can use the power and the blessing for the purpose. Amen? It says, you shall receive power from the when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Be witnesses to me in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, and unto the ends of the earth. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to invite people to church. I said, she said, all right, I like you. I'm going to preach over here. You see, what happens is we do these series like Self Wars, and Chewbacca is going to be here. Darth Vader is going to be riding a hoverboard. We're turning the stage into an entire space, inside of a spaceship. We're going to be freaking out. I'm going to have Yoda on my shirt. I'm trying to get Yoda here, but I haven't found anybody short enough yet. We got plans, y'all, to make it cool, just to make it easy for you to say, I know I've invited you to church 20 times, but Darth Vader's going to be there. Legit, I ain't joking. And the Darth Vader going to be at your church? Yeah. All right, I'll come once. But what we do is we're like, oh, but that means I got to ask somebody. That means I need to send an email. I mean, I got to pick up the phone. And God says, no, I want you to use your influence. And we serve a use it or lose it kind of God.
Yeah.
What do you mean use it or lose it? I mean, he gave one man one talent, one man two talents, and one man five talents. The guy who had one talent didn't use it, so he took it from him into the guy who had a bunch of talents because he was using it. Somebody tap your neighbor, say, use it or lose it, baby. If God gives you power, are you going to use it for him? If God gives you blessing, are you going to use it for him? And are you doing what it takes to have the God-sized vision and the God-sized goals for your life that God has for you? You see, most people, they don't have goals. They don't write down goals. And there's the they. We don't know what they looks like. We don't know what they do, but whatever they say tends to go. And whenever you don't do what they say, they kind of like don't get along with you. But do we want what they have? Because most people have cancer. Most people eat bad food. Most people don't sleep well. Most people get divorced. And most people are in debt more than they can pay. Do you want what most people have?
No.
So how do we be different than most people? Because God did call us to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation, actually a royal priesthood, if you will. That's what the Bible says about our life. Most people don't set goals. Did you know that 97% of Americans don't even write down goals? So how can you get ahead of 97% of the people? You can write goals down. Why is that important? Well, Harvard Business School did a study of some students, and they studied them through school and for years after school. And at the end of the study, they noted that only 3 of the students had ever written down goals. Do you know where those 3 students ended up on the study? Most power, most influence, and highest financial gain. The only 3 students that had written down goals. But you might be thinking, like I thought when I read it, but I didn't go to Harvard. How many of you did not go to Harvard? All right, we got something in common, right? How many of you just glad you graduated high school? Right? All right, I'm feeling you. But the Bible and God does not want you to get stuck where you start. You see, you are on purpose. You were created for a reason. God just needed you to get into this earth so that he could use you in that destiny that he has for you. God didn't create no junk. He made you, and he's got an idea of where he wants you to go. We've just had other people sit on it and kind of help keep us from getting there. You see, because that same study, Harvard University, graduates of the business school, at the end of the study, there were 3 more students. And these 3 students, by the end of the study, were unemployed and homeless. They graduated from Harvard Business School, and they were homeless. You see, don't get stuck where you start. God can use anybody. And in case you're wondering, he used some little crazy girl like me to get up here today and encourage you to live out to be all that God called you to be. And I tell you what, I didn't go to Harvard Business School, amen? You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the world makes way for a man who knows where he's going. And I just want to say, if you're a woman, don't worry. It makes way for a woman who knows where she's going too. And you know how you got your name? God created woman. And he said to Adam, Adam, what do you want to name her? He goes, whoa, man. And that is how we got our name. God makes way for the man who knows where he is going. And here's just proof of that. If you know where you're going, people will get out of your way, even if they're not supposed to. You see, there was an event at a big stadium. It was with Joel and Victoria Osteen, and Pastor David and I are on their Champions Network board of directors. And so we were there with Joel and Victoria and some other pastors sitting on the field. After the event, I started talking to people, pastors, churches, how you doing? And how many of you know, I probably tell you, you could see me talking too much and maybe a little too long. So as I'm standing there, I look around and everybody else is gone. Some people running through that door back there. So I start heading for that door out of the field because I don't know where to go, and I'm just following them. But there's this guy kind of standing like this, and he's real big, and he's puffed up, and he's got this earpiece thing in his ear. And I just, like, look at him, and I just, like, breeze right past him. He doesn't even stop me. I'm in a hurry to catch up with those people who are getting out. As I get through there, I just catch him heading up some stairs with another one of those guys in front of the stairs. And as I brush by him, I almost kind of brush by his arm, but he doesn't say a word to me. And as I head up those stairs, right around the corner, they're going through a door. I hustle for that door. There's a guy standing almost in front of the door, but I don't want to get lost. So I kind of reach past him. I turn the door handle. I throw the door open, and I walk directly into Joel and Victoria Osteen's private dressing room. Oh, dear Lord. Thank goodness everybody was clothed, and it wasn't that big of a deal, and they knew who I was, because otherwise I would have looked like a stalker. There were three guys that were supposed to stop me from going there. I had no idea where I was actually going. I just knew I was going where those people were going. So I looked like a woman on a mission, and I looked like I gotta get there, and I looked like, don't mess with me. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm following right through this path, and nobody who was even supposed to stop me, stopped me. Look at your neighbor and say, don't mess with me. I'm going somewhere good. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants to take you somewhere not good, great. He wants us to shrug off what the world told us we can't do and what the wrong people told us we can't be, and shrug off those mistakes we've made in our past and take off those scales from our eyes and start looking through the binoculars of faith. You see, we can't see the future the way we're supposed to see the future in the natural. We got to see with eyes of faith. We got to see with eyes that are bigger than we can ask, think, or imagine. We got to think with a God-size imagination, because if we can do it ourselves, our dream is not big enough. You see, if I took a step right here, how many of you do not recommend that I take this step right now? How many of you don't recommend that? How many of you know it's going to fail and it's going to hurt? That's the kind of step that God wants you to take in your dream. Because if you can do it yourself, he's going to let you handle that in your own strength. He says, until you walk with faith, and it's bigger than you can do, and it's bigger than you can see, and you know that it's going to be completely me if it happens and works out. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's like, would somebody have some faith in me? Would somebody trust me? Would somebody believe me? Would somebody know that I've got a future for them, Jeremiah 29:11, a future and a hope, an expected end. It's for good and not for evil. Jeremiah 29:11. The first part of that scripture, we get excited about the end, but the first part is God says, I know I have the plans for you. You see, God does have a plan for you. You are intentional. You are on purpose. It might look like the wrong place at the wrong time, but it doesn't matter where you start. Don't get stuck in your zip code, your color, your gender, your height, your weight, your IQ, what school you went to, the mistake you made, the fact you got pregnant, the fact you got divorced. Don't get stuck where you start. God has a plan for you. Amen? I'm here today to help you prime your dream pump. To help us remember those dreams and go back to our imagination like a little kid. I mean, I love watching little kids. If they didn't have me out here in big church, I would be in there with the kids because they are so full of life and they can think of so many things at one time. I remember back in the day, I wanted to be a Broadway star. The problem with that is they want all the girls to be about 5 feet tall because they need the men to be bigger than them and look all, you know, big and masculine, and we're supposed to look all petite and cute. And there ain't nothing petite about my 5'11" frame. The other thing is they want you to be able to sing, but, you know, whatever. So I would produce musicals when we would get stuck at my great-grandma's house for a holiday. When I say grandma's basement, how many of you can already smell a smell? You know, this isn't even grandma's basement. This is great-grandma's basement. There are no toys. We got to do something. So I'm like, I know. Let's do The Sound of Music. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be the nun, and you're going to be Captain Von Trapp, and you guys are going to be the kids, and we're going to sing, and it's going to be, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Oh, it's going to be fabulous. And then you invite the parents downstairs, and you line them all up, and you make the parents watch. Parents, don't you like it when your kids make you watch their shows? Just say yes. They might be looking. And we would do this whole production number, and in my head, it was fantastic. Because I had my imagination still intact. You have to see it to be it. Now if you put me in my grandma's basement and told me to produce The Sound of Music, I would be like, say what? Not gonna happen. But it didn't stop me back then. We're supposed to have a childlike faith. Yeah. We're supposed to be able to see beyond the circumstance, and that's the kind of thing that God leans on us to do, because Genesis 11:6, it says, nothing will be restrained for them what they have imagined to do. God says, if you use your imagination, if you can see it, if you can put it out there, if you can put a vision to it, he said, I can make it happen, but we'll never leave where we are until we can see where we want to go. Amen? And that's what a goal is. A goal is like a destination. Because if we want to get together and have some fun and go on a trip, we'd be like, hey, let's go on a trip. Pack your bag. 15 minutes, let's meet in the car. Today in St. Louis, it's cold. I'd have a coat, hat, scarves, gloves. I'd throw that in there, and we'd take off on the road. And if we didn't decide for an hour where we were going to go, and we headed, like, north of here, and we're like, what sounds good? I'm like, Key West sounds good. How many of y'all would go to Key West today? North is the wrong direction. Knowing me, I was driving 85, so I was going the wrong direction at a rapid speed because I wanted to get there. And I've got the wrong stuff packed for the trip. That's what happens when we don't have a goal and we don't know where we're going. We spend a lot of time going the wrong direction and we're not even prepared for what's coming up. We got to know where we're going. Give God a hand. There was a boy in sixth grade, his name was Stevie. And when Stevie was in sixth grade, his teacher gave him an assignment. And Stevie was born in the wrong zip code. He wore all hand-me-down clothes, and he stuttered. And so the teacher said, I want you to write down what you want to be when you grow up and write a paper on it. Well, he'd seen a man being funny on television, and he thought, man, wouldn't that just be the best job to make people laugh? I want to do that. And he wrote his paper about it. His teacher got his paper, and she called him to the front of the class. She said, Stevie, can you come up front? And he hustled up there. He thought, oh, she likes my paper. And she said, Stevie, I want to ask you a question. Anybody in your family, anybody in this classroom, even know anybody who has ever been on television? And Stevie says, no, ma'am. And she said, then I want you to rewrite your paper with something that's real, boy. Can you believe that? He goes home and tells his dad, I got to rewrite my paper. I messed up, Dad. His dad says, let me see what you wrote. And he says, Stevie, you can rewrite that paper for her, but I want you to take this and I want you to put it on your bathroom mirror and I want you to read it every morning before you go to school and I want you to read it every night before you go to bed. And that's exactly what Steve Harvey did every day before he went to school and every night before he went to bed. You see, we can't let the world tell us what we're not going to be. And we have to believe what God says for us. And there's a guy that goes to our church. His name is Jalen. And Jalen, I mean, he's not from the right zip code. It's not like his parents spent their whole life making life easy on him to achieve his dreams. Life was actually kind of, he's had some hard circumstances to overcome, actually. And would you know that this high school kid, he's in high school right now, is managing Steve Harvey's social media account? Steve Harvey is his client. Now, you might be thinking, man, it's a shame that Steve Harvey can't afford anything but a high school kid to manage a social media account. I mean, really? Oh, no. You see, you have shorted the high school kid. You see, this high school kid had some circumstances, but he didn't get stuck where he started. He found a church that breathed life into him. He started reading his Bible, and it breathed life into him. He started believing what God had to say about him, and it breathed life into him. And he doesn't only manage Steve Harvey's social media account. He manages Ford Motor Company's Fortune 500 social media account, y'all. And his tithe check this year is probably going to be more than a lot of people in this room. And he's a high school kid from the wrong side of the track. You better not limit my God. My God is good. He is a good God. But he is going to stretch us out. Isaiah 54, it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. Do you remember the doll Stretch Armstrong? He's like this thing, and he's about this big, and he's kind of rough and rubbery, and you could stretch him. I got one of those when I was like 5 years old, and I would try and play with it by myself because my brothers and sisters weren't born yet, and I could only stretch him so far. But when a friend would come over to the house, I would get on one side, and they would get on the other, and we would pull on Stretch Armstrong, and we would pull on Stretch Armstrong, and we would pull, and we would get so big, I'd be like, we're going to make him bust, he can't take it! But Stretch Armstrong never busted. That is the importance of coming to church. That is the importance of getting involved in an iConnect group, because you're on one side of Stretch Armstrong, me, Pastor David, your iConnect leader, your church, your prayer partners, that people sitting next to you, you're on the other side. And together, we're going to stretch your dreams so far out. It goes from snack pack size to God size, in Jesus' name. We need a big vision. Reminds me of a college girl. She was coming home for Christmas break, and she saw some goals on the refrigerator that her dad had written. It was like, love my wife more, have a date night, be more productive at work, you lose some weight. And she's like, well, if he's got goals, I'll add to daddy's goals, pay daughter's rent. Then the son saw it, and he's like, well, if I'm going to get on this, and it says pay son's car payment. So when dad went back to the refrigerator for some leftovers, he goes and looks at the refrigerator door. He's like, what are these kids adding on here? Fine, I got my own new goal. Wean kids financially. You got to have some goals, and you got to keep them straight, but you got to have them in front of you so you know what they are. And that's what it says in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, when you can't see what God has for you, when your vision has been clouded by doubt and circumstance, when you're not using your eyes of faith, when you're not writing down a goal, the people perish. What does perish mean? If you buy some celery at the grocery store and you put it in the vegetable drawer and you leave it there for a year and you come back, you can see what perish looks like. It stinks, it's wilted, it's nasty, and it's almost dead. And if that's what your life looks like right now, if that's what your future looks like right now, here I am with water. Because if you take celery and it's kind of wilted and you put in a bunch of cold water and you leave it there, it starts to come back to life and it starts sucking that up. That's what the washing of the water of the word, it does for you. And that's what it's supposed to be bringing life back into you right now, because God doesn't want you leading a perishing life. Well, how do I do that? Well, it says how to do that in Habakkuk 2:2. On Habakkuk 2:2, God gives us a plan on how to reach our goals. Oh, no, Tony Robbins wrote that plan. Oh, no, Zig Ziglar wrote that plan. No, man, all those leadership gurus did was hijack the Bible. The Bible is the best leadership book on the planet, y'all. I'm telling you. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision. That's what the Lord starts with. He says, write the vision. God wants you to write down your goals. Like, not just have them in your head where they can be a little bit fuzzy, but he wants us to write them down because it adds clarity to our dream. Maybe you want to work with animals, but what does that mean? Does that mean being a veterinarian, being a veterinary assistant, being a zookeeper, leading a safari, working at a dog shelter, opening a dog shelter? What does working with animals mean? God wants you to write it down so that you can see it. Back to that scripture, and we can just leave Habakkuk 2 up there just for the next few minutes. It says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and it said, make it plain upon the tablets. I'm like, that is so cool that God knew we would have Windows tablets in 2016. It's awesome. No, it means other than that. It says make it plain. It means write it down where you can see it and be specific. Everybody say, be specific.
Be specific.
Nobody likes to shoot in the dark. Where exactly do you want to go? What do you want to be? What's your dream? Write it down. Make it plain. Back to the scripture. It says that he may run who reads it. That he may run who reads it. Just like Steve Harvey, we're supposed to put it somewhere we can see it, on our bathroom mirror, somewhere we can see it in our car, somewhere we can see it. I've got a paper planner, so it tells me where to be and when to be there, because I tried using my Google Calendar, but Siri lies. So I have this paper planner, and on the top left-hand side of every page, I put my top 5 goals for the day. Because you see, John 10:10 warns us. It says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he is here intentionally working towards his goal to steal, kill, and destroy your future. Steal, kill, and destroy your dream. And the way it happens is you set your alarm 20 minutes early. And you're like, okay, today is goal day. I'm going for this thing. And then you wake up and the dog has pottied on the carpet. One of the kids breaks a glass in the kitchen. You get to your car and you're low on gas. So you got to go to the gas station and you're still late for your job. And one of your goals was to be on time. So he's going to try and kill it. So we have to keep ourselves focused on it, because when you keep your attention on your intentions, it helps you to be successful. But we have to be intentional about keeping our attention on our intentions. So write the vision. Make it plain that he can run who reads it. So if we're going to read it, then we got to run. Got to execute it. Got to get it out there. So how do you do that? You tell somebody. Hit your neighbor right now and say, you better tell somebody. You gotta tell somebody. Why do you want to tell somebody? You want to tell the right person. Don't tell that person who's going to push you down. Tell that person who's going to pray for you. Tell that person who's going to lift you up. Tell that person who's going to believe in you. And tell that person who's going to keep you accountable. Because let me talk to church people for 1 second. How many of y'all ever started a fast, decided it wasn't a good idea, you hadn't told anybody, and then you just quit your fast? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody in public, but I will go ahead and raise my hand for you. That's why now when I go on a fast, we're not supposed to brag about our fast, but I tell my family, you know, hey, I'm drinking half my body weight in water. I'm not having any sweets. I'm not having any soda. I'm not having any fried foods. I'm supposed to be on cardio 15 minutes a day. I only get 1 cup of coffee. And they know what I'm supposed to do. That way, after they see me have my morning cup of coffee, when God is so good to me in the afternoon that he sends an angel from heaven with a Starbucks that they bought for me. That is my favorite flavor. And they hand it to me, and I'm like, dear God, I would not be a wise steward if I did not drink this gift from heaven. And I lift it to my lips, and my kids say, Mom, did you already have coffee today? I say, oh, I just bought this for you. They help us with a little bit of positive pressure, stay on our goals. Those are the people you want behind you in life. So say with me, say, write the vision.
Make it plain.
Be specific.
Read it.
Tell somebody.
In Jesus' name.
And that's why I came up with this sheet that you got as you came in today. And if you're watching online, if you're watching on TV, this will be on my blog as of tomorrow if you want to download it at NicoleCrank.com. Wow. Yes, Lord? Chime in anytime. We're listening. So it'll be on NicoleCrank.com if you want this tomorrow. But it's really nothing special, but it's what I start. It's called Goal Bones because I started the sentences, but I didn't end them. It's about spiritual goals, financial goals, relationship goals. My ideal soulmate is, I will improve my relationship with my parents by. Fun goals, where my next vacation's going to be. Family goals, I'm going to improve my relationship with my kids by. Career, I'm going to improve my skills at work by doing this. The new skills I'm learning for work include this. Health goals, in order to become fit, I'm going to. Mental goals, the new habit I've developed is. The bad habit I'm going to get rid of is. And then material goals, my dream home is this. The kind of jewelry I want to wear is that. And the kind of clothes I want to wear are these. And I put material goals last when I talked about it on purpose, just in case anybody had a question about or got tripped up about if God is okay with blessing you materially. Because here's the question I ask of you. If you're not going to pray for success, What are you going to pray for? Failure? No. How many of you live in a house? How many of you drive a car? How many of you going to work tomorrow to pay for it? How many of you got clothes on right now? In Jesus' name, raise your hand. We wear clothes, we live in homes, we drive cars. Get this, God is good with you having nice things. That's easy. God is not good with good things having you. Okay? Let's do that one more time. God is good with you having nice things. God is not good with nice things having you. Isaiah 48:17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. God's going to teach me to make money? Well, I mean, that's what the Bible says. I mean, if you want to believe the Bible, you go on and believe the Bible then. But why would God teach us? Why would God teach me to make money? I don't know. Let's ask the Bible. Bible, what do you say? What's the rest of that scripture says? Who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. You see, we do serve a God that wants you to be profitable. But we serve a God who wants you to be profitable so it can be a testimony unto him, so that it can bring glory unto him, so that it can bring honor unto him, so we can reach out and pay the single mom's rent who's getting ready to lose her place, so we can build homes in Haiti for people who have nowhere to live, have nothing to eat, so we can feed the homeless of our cities. Why should our city have homeless people? Not on our watch, y'all. We should be feeding everybody. So we can take this message to the edges of the earth so people can find in their homes and can't get out, can hear the word of God. Because if they can't get to us, what if God sent us to them? This would be amazing. God has purpose for profit. Somebody give God a good amen. John 10:10, remember a thief came to steal, kill, and destroy? Jesus is saying that. But the rest of it says, but I have come that you may have and enjoy your life. You can't enjoy your life with the dishwasher broke, the washing machine broke, the dog's limping because you can't afford the vet, and your car broke down because you can't get to the vet and not have a job. That is not enjoying life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have and enjoy life and have it to an abundance, to the full, until it overflows. We serve an abundant God with unlimited power. We serve an abundant God with unlimited resources. And this God has called you to great and mighty things. And he wants you to achieve these great and mighty things and serve his name with those great and mighty things so that he can reach all people for him. Can somebody give God an amen this morning? Two more things, and then I'll be done. One is, do you have kids? Do you want your kids to do better than you did? Yes. Are you God's kid? Yes. Does God want good things for you then? Yes. Because it says in his word that even the best father on the earth is evil compared to how good God is. God wants good things for you, and he has no limits. So where does the limit lie? And I'll close with this story. It's not a story, it's a historical account in the Bible. It's this woman, and she is so in debt, she is so broke that her two sons are getting ready to be sold into slavery to pay her debts. She doesn't know what she's going to do. So she goes to the prophet Elijah, and she says, what do I do, Elijah? And he asks her a question. He says, what do you have in your house? You see, we go to the water cooler on Monday at work, and we're like, I just wish somebody would discover how wonderful and amazing I am, and God would just do a miracle for me. I'm going to go sit here and drink my water. And God says, no, I want to know what you've got, and I want to know if you're going to use it for me. So she said, well, all I got is this little bit of oil. Doesn't look like much. If what you got don't look like much, it don't matter. And she says, I just got this little bit of oil. And Elijah says, you're going to use it for your miracle. He says, I want you to gather containers from every neighbor, every stranger, every friend, every person you can find. Get them in your house, close the door, and pour that oil into the containers. She's like, well, that's not going to take long. And she goes, they get the containers, and they start pouring. She's like, okay, well, this isn't going to take, wait a minute, it kept going. Ed, get me another container. Okay, okay. Bobby, get a bigger container. This thing is going crazy. It's overflowing. Bring me all the containers, boys. You're not going to believe this. This is an answer to our prayer. This is a miracle. Give me another container. It's overflowing. say it stopped. There's no more container and the oil stopped. You see, God had more oil. We serve an unlimited God, but He wants to know if we have the capacity to receive the blessing, the oil that He's pouring out in our life. So He's looking for some vessels. He's looking for some containers. He's looking for some people to do what He wants us to do so that He can bless us, so that we can be a blessing to other people. Do you believe in God's plan for your life today? Amen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if this message was for you today, if you have a dream that fell flat, you know you need to stretch, and you know God has a vision for your life, but you haven't written it down, you haven't explored it, made a plan to go for it, would you raise your hand today so I can pray for you? Father God, with almost every hand raised, I just pray right now, I thank you, God, for how good you are to us, how you speak a word in due season, and how you're faithful to be there for us. So God, right now, I just declare that those dreams that have gone by the wayside, that have died, God, I speak to them resurrection power in Jesus' name. I say that those dreams are coming back to life, that that vision is getting clear, that we are just being encouraged by you and gathered up in your strength, God. We have an inclining ear to you, and you're speaking to us what to do, God, and we will run to pursue it, and we will be faithful over it, and God, we will pass the test of success and keep you first and give you honor and glory as you use us. In Jesus' name we pray. If you love God today, will you give Him a big amen?
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.